Alright, this morning I want to share with us, you can call it a message of the hour, and you wouldn't be wrong. And it's something you need to take heed to, and I'm speaking to everyone, myself inclusive. Alright, so James chapter 1, we'll just run through that quickly. And James says in verse 23, okay. I'll start from 21 actually, or we start from 18. Of his own will begat he also 17. 17 better, right? Every good gift and every perfect gift, and this is describing the new birth. The gift in here is the describing the new birth. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light, whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we might be, or we should be, a kind of the first fruits of his own creature. Now, the truth is, James is using pure Genesis language here. Pure Genesis language. Uses, without, the variableness, uses heavenly bodies. Right? That's Genesis, pure Genesis. Genesis 1, 14, 15. That's what James is using here. This is of his own will begat us with the word of truth, that we might be a kind of the first fruit. First fruit is again Genesis language. Genesis 1:1, Bereshith or Reshith. And it comes out here as first fruit. Then he says in verse 19, wherefore my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Amen? Let's look at instruction again. 19. Swift to what? Yeah. Slow to speak. Slow to wrath. In other words, that the two things are your reactions. Alright? Your reactions. Swift to hear is you are listening to what is being said. Okay? So slow to speak and slow to wrath will be your reactions generally. How do you react to life? And you know, I tell people oftentimes that what is done to you, you can't control. You can't control how people talk to you. You can't control the kind of stuff that they throw at you. You see, there's nothing you can do, absolutely nothing you can do about people's attitude, but you can do something about yours. Is that clear? You can do something about yours. So you can do absolutely nothing about what people will do. Reverend Hagin, Pastor Hagin, will always say this, that you cannot stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop it from building a nest on it. So there's absolutely nothing you can do about people getting to insult you, people getting to, you know, cheat you, people getting to do stuff at you, you know, throw different things at you. But the reaction becomes yours. Of course, the first thing he says here is swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And the slow there doesn't mean don't do it on time. It means do not react, you know, so quickly. You're out of it. In 20, he says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. I guess this should sink in, that the wrath of man, you are angry, upset, agitated, annoyed, irritated, you feel like, you know, saying something back, doesn't mean it's of God. The wrath of man, he says, worketh not the righteousness. And we see the wrath of man every day on our streets. We see it in the buses. We see it in the trains. We see it in the airplane when people speak. We see it everywhere. The train station, we see it at the bus station, the bus park, the bus stop. We see it even in the homes, if you're not careful. We see it everywhere. We see it, now we see it on the media. People are upset. They're making commentaries. I mean, comments and running commentaries. They're tweeting, chatting. Everybody's speaking. And say, but the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Let that be very clear. And there's nothing you can do, 2022 generation, that includes you and I. There's nothing you can do to change the word. The word of God will outlive every generation, hallelujah. The word of God will outlive every new discovery, every technology. The word of God will outlive every attitude, every new sociological path that a man has chosen to take, or man has chosen to take. The word of God will outlive all of it together. So you better just pitch your tent permanently and camp it around the word. He says, the wrath of man does not walk the righteousness of God. So the one wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save the soul. In other words, accept who you are. Say, I accept who I am. I receive who I am. Then it says in 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves, which means you're acting otherwise. Now, the moment you deceive yourself, that is chaos. Tohu bohu. Because that's chaos. That means you are doing something else apart from who you are. And that's a chaotic situation. So you have in verse 23, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened unto a man. A hearer of the word and not a doer. It doesn't say you shouldn't be a hearer at all, because you have to be a hearer before you're a doer. It says he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in the mirror. I would say the word here is Genesis. Beholding his Genesis face. So in Genesis 1, 2 quickly, we said God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1, 1. By Genesis 1, 2, we see, pay attention here, we see the earth was without form and void. And we said that is chaos. Chaos is disorder. Absolute disorder. Things are where they ought not to be. And I gave you the illustration yesterday where the kitchen sink is in the living room, then the sofa is in the kitchen, or let's say the toilet, the restroom. And then you find also the toilet seat is found in the room. You know, stuff like that's going on. The car is parked, maybe the car is parked at the dining room. Then the dining table is found at the car park. That's disorder. And then you start to eat at the car park, you start to drive, or you start to use the restroom in your room, in the living room. That's odd. Because that's exactly what chaos is. And you see, this happened to Israel. This is Romans 32. And God reminds them, said, go ask those who are old in verse 7. Verse 8, when the Most High divided the nations, you know, in their inheritance, and, you know, gave the nations over to the sons of God, according to the number of the sons of God. He said, but he then chose Israel, or Israel became his Lord, Jacob. Verse 9. But later on, as we read from verse 11 to 17 and 18, he says, now they began to serve gods that they did not know. And that's disorder. Chaos. And so we're going to move quickly now to James 4. One of the things that you will see when you stop acting on the word, you're born of God. Say, I'm born of God. Don't think I heard you. Say, I'm born of God. I'm born of the Spirit of God. I am of the first fruits of his creature. I'm in Christ. Now, that is the order of things. Okay? That's the order of things. You know, in James 4, he has many things he highlights as paralogizomai. Mentioned that yesterday. But James 4, 6, and this is my message this morning. It says directly to you, and like I said earlier, I'm taking out of it, all of it, and I'm giving that to you as well. James 4 and 6. James 4, 6, but he gave more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. I want us to read verse 6 together and let it dawn on you so much. James 4, 6, are you there? Let's go. But he gives more grace. I'll take it again. Let's go. But he gives more grace. Wherefore he said, God resists the proud. Say again. Okay, now talk to someone beside you and tell the person, God resists the proud. Oh, come on. Do it better than that. Look at the person's face and say, God resists the proud. Say again, God resists the proud. If you are proud, God is going to resist you. Say again, God resists the proud. If you are proud, God is going to resist you. Now, if you are not paying attention, you should pay attention now. He says, God resists the proud. And James is quite interesting. Look at the next verse. So, in case you missed what he was saying, the next verse directs you to it. Submit yourself to who? God. Come on. Submit yourself to God. Come on, let's read it together. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So, James equates the devil with the proud. Submit yourself to God. Which means to come under his leadership, to come in submission to his authority. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So when you resist pride, You are resisting the devil and you are acting just like God who resists the proud. In other words, the proud is the devil. The proud is the devil. Now watch this. You know, have you tried to see this scenario before? Maybe you have a driver, an official driver or your personal driver. And then you get to early in the morning, you're going to get to work and the guy just sits at the, you know, we have what you call owner's corner. You know owner's corner? Are you aware of owner's corner? Owner's corner is the right side, right hand of the power girl, something like that, you know, at the back. Interesting. And the guy sits at the back and he said, oh, Shekel, we're going to work. He said, I know. He said, get the wheels. Yeah, get the wheels. You think he's crazy. Are you? He said, did you drink something too hot this morning? The guy says, no, you sit at the back. Sit, go drive. We're going to walk. He said, no, I ought to be the one at the back. In other words, he's now the one doing the driving. That's disorder. That's what ought not to be. And we're going to see something in a moment about pride. Pride is when you refuse to take your place. And you want something else apart from your place. Now, pay very good attention. In Proverbs 3:34, which is believed to be the pilot text, as it were, of what James is discussing here. Proverbs 3:34. Proverbs 3:34. So I'm going to define pride for you in a moment. Proverbs 3:34. He says, surely he scorns the scorner. He scorns the scorner. And he gives grace unto the lowly. He scorns the scorner. He scorns the scorner. So which means, now let's see one more. We'll get to this later. 1 Peter 5:5. In case you missed it. 1 Peter 5:5. It says here, likewise you younger. Now this is critical because Peter here is addressing eldership. Call them pastors or call them workers in church. Or you say better still, call them cell leaders and overseers of assemblies. He said, the elders which are among you, I exhort verse 1, who am also an elder, 1 Peter 5:1, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that should be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. And in verse 3 says, there that has been lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. I want us to read verse 4 into verse 5. Are you ready? Are you ready? And through to verse 6. Let's go. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Verse 5, let's take it loud and clear. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Now notice what's going on here. We read, submit yourselves to God. Now, watch what's going on here. Peter says, submit yourselves to the elders. Go on now. Ye, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Let's read the B part loud. For God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. He resists the proud. Humble yourselves. Let's take six together. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now, James and Peter happen to have been in the scenarios, the scenes of the four gospels. And something happened. There are instances where this went. I can't read all, but there's one that will come out quickly. Luke's gospel and chapter 8. I'm coming to it later, but just for first reference. Jesus, in verse 9, he says, and he spoke a parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. Now watch it. It says, which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. See, there cannot be pride without comparison. You can't be proud without comparison. Pride always has comparison. I won't be like this or I want to be like that. That's how pride sounds. Now, I shared the story the other day. I'm in a meeting, an alumni meeting, and then we have those who were my seniors. Now in government college, I don't know about your school, government college, Ibadan precisely. I don't know about your school. We respect, you know, those who are, we call them seniors, but we have this particular appellation we give them. We say, Onoyinka, please, something like that. That's how we refer them. Now I had these guys, they're 2 years my senior. And then in school, you call them, you don't call them first name, you call their surnames and you put please. So we got them as seniors. So we are at the alumni event and we're all there. So I saw this guy's 2 years my senior. Oftentimes when we leave school, I know you do that too, those guys you used to call senior, you see yourselves, sometimes you both meet as mates in the university. Sometimes you go for the same training courses and master's degree, then somehow everything's level. So, you know, it's fine, you know, so there's no basis again for a senior. So I saw these guys and you know, as I saw them, I just kind of bowed and I said, how are you? And I used the phrase I'll use in school. And then one of my mates said, I'm like, no, this is so-and-so person now. Ah, I said, I know. So he knew I knew the person, and then he looked at me and said, oh, Jesus is really in your body, that he's wondering. And I asked him, myself, pardon me, why would I change how I called him? Okay, maybe now I seem to have more resources, or maybe I'm more popular, I have more influence, or I occupy some offices that he doesn't. The moment that comes to my heart, pride has come. And I'm saying why I think I shouldn't do something anymore is because I now have this. And sometimes we feel, and the world teaches us that anyway, that when we have more age, more in age, we have more money, or we have more influence, it should change our character. Now I say oftentimes, age does not change your character, it reveals it. Influence and wealth and status don't change your character. They only reveal we were at another meeting like that, and then I was the, my said president. And we saw this man used to drive the tractor. You know, the guy used to drive the tractor when we were in school, from our first year till we left. And he's retired and he came to see us, oh, my boys, and all that. And naturally, you know, he's an elderly man, and you know, but the truth is, by circumstance, he's not exactly too privileged at all. Not privileged at all, not even exactly. So he shows up. You can see by his appearance that he's not privileged. So naturally, of course, you don't have to be rude. You can just say, oh, how are you, sir? And then you give stuff to him or something like that. But imagine if the person who walked in, he came in a BMW 2023 model. And he's the same age. How would you have greeted the person? I'm sure you wouldn't stretch your hand. You say, wow. And then this is so-and-so person. And you would have done some curtsy here and there depending on your culture. So what I did, I just went straight prostrated. What I noticed was all the other boys, of course we call ourselves boys, that were with me, they, as soon as they saw that, and they couldn't, because they just didn't know how, they all just joined in. And you know, and we prostrated. The truth of the matter is this, and to the glory of God, we did give the man money. But because I gave him money to help him, did not change my character. If you are respectful, you are respectful. See, if you measure respect by wealth or status symbol, then you don't have a respectful attitude. So pride is when you make comparisons. Pride is when you say, that was when I didn't have money. Pride. Pride is when you say, that was then, this is now. Now, in Luke 18, Jesus points something out. He says that, of course, Luke says, those who trust in themselves and despise others. Again, you have the Proverbs 3:34 in there. They scorn others. Two men went up to pray, and one a Pharisee, the other a publican. And verse 11 says, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Look at that word. He prayed thus with himself. God, I thank you. I am not as others. See it? I am not as others. And we all put up that kind of appearance. Hypocritical many times, but says, I am not as others. That's what he says. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. That's what he says. And this is so distasteful for a Christian to even say, I am not as others. I fast twice in a week. I give tithe of all I possess. So this guy has a rich CV. And then he says, I'm not as others. He says, and now the thing is, he didn't just say others. He's right there with the publican and he points to him. Not like this guy. How many times do you think you're better? You are better. I'm better. I'm this one, I am richer, I'm more spiritual, I know more Bible, I've got more miracles. I've done this one. You know, I've got folks like that. You know, who now maybe before the church, you know, before their church grew, or like Protok says, it blew both day in both ways, it grew and blew. And they'll come to a conference and sit down in the right place and all that. But now they think we should invite them. Invite me because of who I am. You see? They're making comparisons. That is pride. Pure pride. You know, and why you are thinking like that is you thought the growth of the church is your intelligence, charisma, and your ability to lead and all of that, which is quite stupid because it's the grace of God. And this guy comes and says, I'm not like that fellow. You know, Jesus never says he's lying. Because he's not. So pride doesn't mean what you're saying is not true. He's saying, I'm better than this guy. Oh, they caught him in sin. I'm better than him. Oh, he's an extortioner. I'm better than him. He's an adulterer. I'm better than him. He's unjust. I'm better than him. And it's pure stupid again. Watch what I'm about to say. Even this comparison between a believer and a non-believer is ridiculous. Because you ought not to make it at all. And so here we are. He says, I fast twice a week. He puts his activity on the line. And the publican, standing off, would not even so lift his eyes unto the heaven. He smote his breast, saying, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you. I want us to read verse 14 together. Let's go. I tell you. Saints Covenant Church, are you here? Are you awake? So let's go. I tell you. This man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone, church, watch this very well. You don't miss this kind of information. I remember one time, and I was asking a senior minister about another minister that we grew up. I said, this man is so, so loaded with information. He's got the gifts of the Spirit. He's, you know, everything is working well. He had that then. I said, what's going on? This is not the man we knew. And a dear minister dropped this statement. I can't forget because it always rings in my head, my heart, and my soul. He said, God is resisting him. Because God resists the proud. Raise your two hands and say, Lord, I don't want to be resisted. Pray. Come on. Come on. God resists the proud. The moment you start to compare you and act what you own, act your age in the sense of I'm older, and act stuff like that, God resists the proud. Thank you. Put down your hands and let's continue. He says he, look at what he says here. Let's take verse 14 together again. I tell you, let's go. This man went to his house justified rather than the other. He that exalts himself shall be abased. Wow. You know what to be abased? He's brought down. He that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. Don't ever dream to have God say stuff like, I'm going to do this without you. A man, Brother Hagin, tells a story. This fellow came on TV and he said, look at what we have done. He's talking about his ministry. They've grown into thousands. They're on TV and, you know, he's everywhere. He's on satellite. He's on the local stations. He's got books in circulation. And I know the man. Because the man, you know, he's rich. He's influential. He speaks to presidents. Then he said, on TV, he said, what will God do without me? Wow. Oh my God. He said that. Brother Higgins said, I told those who watched it, I said, watch this man, he's going down. That is not a word of knowledge. It's not a word of wisdom. It's just the word working. He's going down. You know what? A few years, the ministry was gone. The man was gone. You don't even know him, Brother Hagin said, and God has been fine since then. Hallelujah. What about thinking, if I'm not there, no one will be. If I don't pastor that church, no one will be. People have had that kind of attitude. If I don't lead the songs, no one can do it like me. No one can pastor, teach, minister like me. You want to be at the center of everything because you think there's no one that can do it like you. I'm telling you, if you put that in your attitude, God is going to bring you down. He's going to abase you. He's going to put you down. He's going to resist you. Pride is of the devil. Notice, when Jesus said, will be abased, that is strictly Genesis, Isaiah, and Ezekiel together. What happened to the devil? It will happen to you. Don't escape this instruction. He resists the proud. Who is the proud again? Is the guy that boasts about what he has. You can boast about speaking in tongues. You can boast about your prayer life. You can boast about how many souls you've won. You can boast about how many hours you pray. You can boast about, you know, you can boast about spiritual things. Look at Proverbs 15:25, in case you missed that. We'll also read it together. We're going to read quite some text together. Are you ready? Are you ready, Saints coming to church? Let's go. Proverbs 15:25. Let's go. I'll wait for you. Hurry, 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 hurry. We don't have all the time. Are you there? Are you there now? Saints coming to church, are you there? So let's go. Proverbs 15:25. Let's go. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud. You don't miss this kind of text. He will destroy the house of the proud. He will bring it down. It's not going to last. It's not going to stay. He will destroy the house of the proud. Who is the proud? One who raised himself or herself by what he owns, what he has in comparison to others. How many of you know, if you attended, if you made a first class degree, and you don't say I made a first class and all that, and then you are in a room with emeritus professors, you won't mention it. You just say, I'm a graduate. Because you know they're better. You know? But if you're in a room, you have folks who barely went through secondary school, you say, you know, I finished with a first class. We all have that tendency, all right, to say what we now have. And what people say, well, that guy wasn't like that. He was such an humble person. I said, he was not humble. He had no reason to be proud. Don't think you are humble yet. Look at your age. You're probably young. So you are going to naturally act like you are humble and you are easy to be entreated until you grow way older and you have more position, you have more influence. And I've seen some of you act it. You got to your office, you are not a boss, you've been promoted, you're a director, or you are a chief manager, senior manager, whatever. And then you begin to act it even in the way you talk to those who are under your care in the ministry. It shows that something has gotten into your heart. The position has gotten into your heart, the influence. And I've seen people too get married and change. And they change. They are no longer as respectful, simple as they used to be. They think, well, right now I'm a changed person. I have an MRS before my name, or I have an MR before my name. And I can't be doing like what I was doing when I was in university. Why? Why can't you? Well, I can't be, you know, that was when I was university. I can't be like that, you know. And like they say in our parents, say, show my age, meaning, do you know my age? Oh, small boy, you know. And we vaunt those kind of things. And these are things that God resists. You begin to make acclaims of what you now have. Sometimes it's not just that. It's the fact that, well, you used to be an usher, but somehow your pastor recommends you, you become a leader or cell leader, you now teach, and you know, and that could get into all of us. And people now, they don't know, like, call you Brother Shegu, they now call you pastor, even though officially we don't refer to you as pastor, but you're called pastor. That can easily get into your head. And you feel, well, no one should talk to me that way anymore. Now I have become. Pride has come. And think about pride, because the Hebrew and Greek is to boast, to make claims. But the thing about pride is you don't have to say it. It's on your heart. You don't have to say it. It's something on your heart. It's more of how you see yourself than even what you say about yourself. How you see yourself. You know, how many of you used to run to church when you were younger? Come on, let me see your hand. Let me see. Come on. I know you're still young. Let me see your hand. You run to the service. Come on, let me see your hand. You run to the service. Now, if you grow a bit older and then you walk majestically, why did you change? Well, I'm not the way I was before. I'm older now. Is it because you are older? Well, not just that. I mean, I can't be running like this younger folk. Is it lack of strength? Not lack of strength, but I know they are impressionable. See, pride has come. Pride has come. Well, I can't. A guy told me, he said, I can't come for what? Change of scrum. I said, why? He said, not at my level would somebody be telling me to stand up and pray. He said that to me. He's a pastor. And I pity everybody under that kind of person. Say, I cannot. I said, even he went into quite a more derogatory term. He said, not just one person that just left university or secondary school now be telling me, please pray. I said, no, I said, I can look at the person and insult the person. I said, well, those kind of people, you don't teach them the word. You just say, go in peace. God has helped you. Do you get it? Pride. Pure pride. You know, pure pride. You see, this is, it's not who you are in Christ, it's what you see yourself as. And it doesn't take long for such people to come down. See, there's something you should run away from. It's pride. Pride is when you think you deserve something. I'm going to run through some text. You deserve something. You deserve it. I deserve to be treated this way. I deserve to be spoken of this way. Pride. And look at the kind of things that pride can be. Pride can be because you have money. You are proud because of money. That's why I tell people, you don't think anyone is humble when he has nothing. He's got nothing. Why won't you greet 10 times? You greet 20 times, you don't have money. You're nobody yet in the natural. So what's the point? What are you going to be proud about? Though some guys are exceptional cases. They've got nothing and they've got nothing. All right, so their case is quite different. It's a book of Revelation kind of thing. This is Romans chapter 8. He says to them here in 13, he says, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold is multiplied, and all that you have here multiply. I don't know what he's talking about here. Multiply. Let me see your hand. Come on. Let me see your hand. Yeah. You got more, you now have 3 cars, 4 cars, you built your own house, you can now travel first class. In those days, you know, you went by bus, now you go by air. You know, back then you go to the bus park, now you go cars, you know, and all that. You used to stay in a hostel, you now have your own house, and the house is a lovely mansion, Banana Island, you're quite rich and all that. And it says in 14, let's take 14 together. Then your heart be lifted up. And thou forgettest the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You forget. You forget who you are. You now reach yourself by wealth. Ezekiel 7:20. It's your position. Ezekiel 28 verse 5. Ezekiel has more of this. Ezekiel 7:20. He says, as for the beauty of the ornament, he said in majesty, but they made the images of their abomination, of their detestable position, things wherein I've set it far from them. Ezekiel 28:5. What you have. Sometimes, you know, some guys even are proud because they are humble. What about that? You know, I'm a very humble person. Well, I know. Ezekiel 28:5. By thy great wisdom, right, and thy traffic, thou hast increased thy riches, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. That is, now you are promoted. You have more salary. That works, right? That works out. You know, you collected 50K. They made it to 50K. Then 500K. Then somehow you got this remote job, you know, from America or from Europe. They now pay you $10,000 per month. Wow. You say, you know, look at the distance. 50K, $10,000. You quickly look at the exchange rate. A bookie fix or whatever, you know. You think, oh my God, that's 10,000 times 600. That's 6 million naira, cool cash. Every week, that's what you get. You used to have 50K and you were a member of the works department. And Brother Femi can say, hey, then we go and say, yes sir. You got 6 million now. I don't know what he earns, but you know. Maybe he doesn't hear what you earn. You look at him, you look at his car has not changed. He has not changed. And Femi really has not changed. That's the truth, you know. He has not changed. He look at him and you have changed because you now have what he doesn't have. So he tells you, why did you do your report? Your first reaction says a lot. Why is he talking to me? I now earn $10,000. That's what I earn. No, you have to give me respect. You know, respect begets respect. I'm telling your leader that. Respect begets respect, sir. I know you are, I know we have to honor you. You tell me, I know I have to honor you, but you also, honor is reciprocal, sir. You get pride. She's got money. Salary. Sometimes you are even boasting about your health and strength. Ah, you know, look at it. Psalm 73. You're boasting about your health and strength. Psalm 73. In verse 4 and 6 to 6. There are no bounds in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride encompasses the body as a chain. Violence covers them as a garment. They are strong. You're strong. So I'm a strong man. I'm a strong man. You're boasting in your strength. I do 300 push-ups per day. Or 1,000 push-ups. You know, I do 20,000 steps every day. I'll be serious. That's your crowd. I do this one. I'm strong. I'm healthy. You know, I found it really stupid that Christians, and this is not about the country, but Christians mocking people who are frail, assuming they're frail. And I think you are really stupid. How would you mock people who are frail? The fact that you are strong today doesn't take you away from leaving the earth tomorrow. Don't be stupid. Pride in your strength. Pride in your energy. Pride in your beauty. How about that for women? Amen? Let all the sisters shout glory. I don't think I heard you. Say glory. How about your beauty? The beauty of holiness. No, your beauty. You're looking really good. And every time they tell you, you know you're a fine girl. That comes to you. You're fine. You say, yeah, no, thank you. Don't mention, you know. And you see, your beauty. You think you're pretty. Sometimes you think you're pretty. You must have the best things of life. Nonsense. Sometimes it's power and influence. You now have power and influence. Have you ever seen power and influence before? I knew that in the secondary school when you became a senior. There were some guys like that, you know, when they crossed over from to the 6334, I moved them from Form 1 to, we had this argument in my class, said we wondered, were we GSS 1 or Form 1, and people argued and argued until we agreed on who we were. We're still arguing about it. Because some of us came in earlier, some of us came in later on. So by the time we were in the second term, we had those guys who were class 5 and A levels. So the guys who were in Form 4, SS1. Now, see the gap. It's supposed to be Form 4, SS1, Form 5, lower 6, then upper 6. So upper 6 is the senior of seniors in the whole school, like the head of principals and power, might, and dominion. So you found yourself from Form 4, that is SS1, now occupy what the upper 6 did. I saw those things clearly. Those guys became something else. You know the thing? They had to rule the school for 3 years. Oh my God. What a reign. SS1, SS2, they're not yet going. SS3. No other set had that kind of honor. We all had just 2 terms. By the 3rd term, you are doing your final exams. And if you are still doing senior in your head, you come back and write the same exam. So you better have some sense. So, okay, usually 3 terms, because the 3rd term, of course, on your final, the 3rd term of your SS2, usually those guys are also doing the same. They're going away, so you stay. Though in government college, they did what they call baptism into leadership. And they know you're going to be the next leader, so they do what you call ordination. They just get all the SS2 boys to do something wrong. You don't have to have it. They just give you, you're done wrong. And then they call everybody. Why do you guys think you are seniors? You think you are the seniors? And then they get everybody beaten up. They punish you just to introduce you into leadership. Now, I'd been dreading the day till he came. And God in his divine orchestration didn't make me have the experience, even though I was one of the most vocal of myself, that day I was in the dining hall. And then one of my seniors, he asked to see everybody on his eating table. So I was really upset. I went there. We're having a prep class, so I went to his room and he said, "Oh, Noika, you should do better than this. I know, you guys know we're leaving, but help me out." I said, "No problem. I'll tell the mess boy." Mess boy is the guy that serves. I said, so I'm going back to the prep class and I'm seeing something. I'm seeing all my mates in one corner, gathered together in one accord. I said, I know what's going on here right now. I've been in this school for long. So I told him, I said, "What's going on here?" He said, "You better start running." So I was running. I didn't know where I was running to. So I ran to the back of the housemaster's house, Mr. John. And they took all my classmates, and I had slaps. Boom! Now, it's nothing evil. It's just the initiation to leadership, okay? So I've seen it in different sets. So I was shaking. They said, "Where's Pressman? Where's Anoika?" I'm shaking. I said, "Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus." So eventually I showed up and said, "Oh, he's here." But by the time they said he's here, they were all tired. So they just gave me like 24 strokes and some slaps and just a few things. And that was just like, you missed. And I'm gone. So I saw that in those guys. And they, from SS1, they started, and they stopped going to class. They stopped doing all sorts of things, And they didn't just expose them. There was one guy like that. He used to be a brother in the fellowship. My God. He moved. He's all changed. He stopped coming to fellowship. Now he has power. SS1. Power. So when I see people talk about the society and talk about the military, the police, and I'm saying, should we expose you guys? So I was talking about, they're doing this one, this harassment. And I said, you guys were mean as secondary school boys. Mean. I mean mean. I know guys who are very mean. They are not talking grammar on Facebook. You were mean before you got anything. Oh, what is seniority? Nothing. There was one senior like that. I looked into his eyes. I said, "I'm not going to do it." He said, "Eh?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Do your worst." Ah! So the guy was afraid. Everybody was, they feared the guy. But that day I just said, "I've had it. Whatever you want to do now, do." I said, "I'm going to make sure that I was making my, I don't know why I was making my, I don't know what about, but I was," he said, "Eh?" I said, "I'm not going to do it." He had given me different punishments. But that day I said, no more. So he agreed. He let me go. And then I was going to break a rule. I went to town to buy bread and suya. That means you steal out. You know what it means to steal out? I'm coming back and I heard his voice. "Anoika!" Oh, Jesus. I said, rapture. Now, he has a legitimate reason to punish me. I was discussing that with another friend, another colleague a few weeks ago. And then he said, "Where are you from?" "Coming from." I said, "Apata." I'm like, I'm dead. He just took my cigar. I don't know, maybe he was still afraid of me. He said, "You can go." I'm like, because sometimes they tell you can go, you just say, "Boah!" from the back. So I'm going. So those guys are proud. What did they just give you? Senior. And you're acting like this, Commander-in-Chief of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. Senior. What did they give you? Official car. You can see the documents. Your name is not there. It's clear. My dad told me this years back. He had been promoted, so became a general manager of a bank. So he said to me, my dad communicates those things to me. He said, "You see this table? It's not your own. It's not my own." He said, "It's your office. Watch when they tell me to go. I can't carry it." I said, "It's true." So he said, "It's your office." He said, "By the time they change you, somebody else will sit there. You can't sit there again." So I should think. I said, "That's true." That's the same thing about life and everything that you have. You must always see yourself, and this will take pride away from your life forever. See yourself as a steward. You can't even boast about health, about beauty. 2 Chronicles 26:16. You can't even boast about influence. Influence. What about my influence? Psalm 140:8. Grant, O Lord, that of the wicked, lest they exalt themselves successes. You have success. 2 Chronicles 25 and 19. So, what are the things you don't boast about? What are the things that we can pride in? Wealth, beauty, strength, vigor, age. Look at James. Are you in church? Are you in church? James in 4. James in chapter 4. Here, I want you to read this together. Come on, let's go. James 4. Let's read. I'm going to read, we're going to read 13 through to verse 15. Let's go. Go to now. I'll wait for you. Come on, let's go. Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. Anybody knows what about tomorrow? You don't. Don't make clear. You don't. How many things you planned this year you saw? Hey, tomorrow, I'll do this one. Say, don't make such claims. Look at 14. Let's go. Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? James says, it is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For what you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. You know, which means I said, I thank God. You must always say, it's God that preserves me. Don't make claims. Don't make boasts. Don't make boasts. Oh, you know, I would be this by this time, by the time I'm this age, by the time I'm this age, we make such boasts. He says, no. So being boastful means that you begin to measure yourself with what you have been given and begin to rate yourself with your possession. Romans 1:21. You in church? Romans 1:21. Let me tell you this. So well, how do I do this? I'm still young, Pastor. I'm yet to have just enough to know what I can do. Well, you can determine not to ever be proud. It's a choice. It's a choice you can make. And you need to put things in place for that purpose. I'm going to run through that too. Romans 1:21. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified not God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart, Romans 1:21, he says, was darkened. They became vain in their imagination. So when your imagination, when you are vain, vain means you think in terms of basically natural things. And there are people like that. Just think in terms of vain things. Some folks are vain. They are very vain. They think in terms of now they have this, they have that, you know, natural things. They're vain. Now look at 30. Let's take 30 together. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, and boasters. Proud and boasters. Look at 2 Timothy 3:3. Proud and boasters. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 3. I'll start from 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be, let's take 2 together. Actually, 2, we're reading 2. Let's go. For men shall be lovers of them own selves. Come on, go on. Covetous, boasters, proud. See, they're together. Boasters. Now, the word boastful there is alazu in the Hebrew, in the Greek. It means to brag. To brag. To brag. Sometimes you don't have to say it, you just act it. To brag. You're bragging. You're talking about it. Some of you talk about your age so much, talk about your career so much, talk about, you know, I'm now this one, I'm now that one, I'm now that one. You have become boastful. Second word here is proud. And the word proud simply means to exalt yourself. To exalt, because there is a you that is in the world. That you is a servant, a vessel. That you is a steward. There's a you. The you is new creature. The you is son of God. That you exalt yourself. You exalt yourself. And look at Luke 1:51. Luke 1:51. You exalt yourself. Proud. A proud person exalts himself. If you were an usher, are you still an usher? Oh, well, dude, I'm not living world media. What about that? Or pastor's protocol. Luke 1:51. He shows mercy. Luke 1:51. Strength with his hand. He has scattered the proud in the imaginations of the heart. This consistent thing about God going against the proud. You don't miss this. He goes against the proud. Romans 1:30, we've been there. Romans 1:30, 2 Timothy 3:2, we've been there. He goes against the proud. He goes against the proud. So don't joke with it. Don't joke with pride. God goes against the proud. He brings down anyone who exalts himself. Isaiah 9 verse 9 to 10 gives us the idea. Psalm 10 verse 4, you could check all that later. What happens is that pride deceives you and sets you up. It deceives you. Jeremiah 49 and verse 16. Pride deceives you. He deceives you. You begin to see yourself as, you know, what you are not. And it will show up in a couple of things I'm going to mention in a moment. Jeremiah 49, are you learning something here? Saints Coming Church, are you learning something here? You suddenly stop taking notes. Now you take notes in style. You no longer take notes the way you used to. Why? Well, I'm not a pastor. I teach. I understand theology. I'm part of the book committee. I'm now a Bible translator, you know that. You are being stupid. Extremely stupid. Jeremiah 49, I'm going to read to you verse 16. It says, their terribleness have deceived thee. The pride of your heart, it deceives you. It will set you up. It will trap you. Pride will deceive you and set you up. In Ezekiel 28 and 17, pride corrupts your wisdom. It corrupts your wisdom. And that happened to the king of Tyre. Of course, definitely we're looking at the devil. If you look at Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 20, you see pride. I want to be like the Most High. I don't want to be like all these guys. I want to be like the Most. It will come up in the form of ambition. It looks like it's healthy till you are in trouble. It corrupts your wisdom. It deceives you. Isaiah 16 again and verse 6. Then you become stubborn up to the point of worshiping idols. You begin to worship new things. Jeremiah 13, 9 to 10. You check all that later. So pride really destroys. Is a self-destructive button. The moment you allow pride in your heart, you're self-destruct. Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 4, he had to eat grass. God will bring down the proud. Don't get to that point where you are proud. You want to be seen different. Look at Aman, Esther 5 to 7. Aman was a proud guy. You see, and proud people are self-destruct. The nations that were proud were brought down. I mentioned them quickly for you. So I get to the Omron. You have, Tyre in Isaiah 23 verse 9. Babylon, Isaiah 13 and verse 19. Moab, Jeremiah 48, 29. Nations, groups of people that are proud are brought down. Sometimes you don't even see them anymore. Edom, Obadiah 3 or 13. Egypt, Ezekiel 32 and 12. Assyria, Zechariah 10, 11. You have all those nations. Philistine, Zechariah 9, 6. Israel itself, Amos 6, 8. It can affect a nation. It can affect a people. It can affect friends. Pride. Pride happened to the devil. He's a son of God. You hope you know that now. He is a God. He is one of God's created beings. But he wanted to be something else. So pride is where now I have this, now God is. What happened to all the sons of God? God gave them the nations to superintend and they wanted worship. Now you are able to, and it's a temporary work. Deuteronomy 32 verse 8 and 9. And because they now had that, they now wanted worship. Where service is not enough, you now want worship. So pride. Pride is when you step outside your boundaries. You are a man of God. Now, I say this oftentimes. I was in an office of a preacher with some brethren. And this is 2011 or 2010, and we were talking, and this is a profound statement that stayed with me forever. And the man said, you know, we preachers can be very interesting. He said, why are we different from others? You know, sometimes you need to ask that question, why am I different? Well, and then he said, we have the Holy Ghost. He said, that's all. And we were given. He said, if the Holy Ghost is removed, he said, we're done. And I said to myself, this is a profound truth that you should never, ever, ever forget. You shouldn't. Pride makes you have a sense of entitlement. I'm the one that should lead the songs. I'm the one that should lead the prayer. Okay, pastor has given people to pray. How come he didn't give me to pray this month? Why are you asking that question? How did that question come from your heart? Well, the creator cells, they didn't give me any cells. Why must you be giving yourself? Well, I should. I've been in this ministry for a while. I think I should be. Hey, pride. Pride. And sometimes you say, oh, well, they called Sister Bimbo to teach, okay? And then they said, Justin, you follow? And they didn't call your name. And you say, why was I not called? Now, if they had called someone else, assuming it was Pastor Ayo that was preaching or Pastor Jakes, you probably wouldn't think that way. But you think, Brother Austin, Sister Bimbo, why they and not me? Pride. Pride gives you a sense of entitlement. And because you want to be seen, doesn't matter what you do for the Lord, you want to be seen. So pride gives you a sense of entitlement. Why not me? Why am I not the one? You know, one day I had to deal with that in my heart. And I saw something happen there. And I saw that what was, someone else was being given honor for my own works. And it's not even Nigerian. And I saw it. And, you know, of course I understand the intellectual part because sometimes some of the universities, they notify me when our works are used as thesis. But this time around, of course, they didn't notify me. And I saw someone and I looked at it. And then people were saying, okay, it's not Nigerian. And people say, and I'm feeling, are you seeing they're not going to mention my name? And I knew that's pride. Why do you want your name to be mentioned? Which one do you want? For God to see your works and reward you or for men to acknowledge? You need to choose what you really want. So pride had to deal with that. I'm going to show you a couple of practical things. Are you still there? So if the Bible says God resists the proud, if you are proud, he will resist you. Look at someone beside you. Say, if you're proud, God is going to resist you. Say it again. Come on. If you are proud, God is going to resist you. It means he will bring you down. Oh, come on, say it. Come on. Say, if you are proud, God is going to resist you. It means he's going to bring you down. Say again, if you are proud, God is going to resist you. It means he's going to bring you down. You're proud about your spiritual status, about wealth, about your age, your marital status. You're proud about the influence you now have in society. You are now a governor. You are now a senator. You don't come to church earlier anymore. You are now the MD of an oil company. You no longer want to be in the operations department because they clean the floor. You are proud. And the word God resists there is antitasso. It means he literally fights you. Anybody who wants God to fight him here, you can never win. Why did I just say, you are in trouble? The American will call it, you're in a mess. Don't ever get to the point where God is resisting you. Well, look at the opposite. It says he grants grace to the humble, lowly. Tapenos in the Greek, T-A-P-E-I-N-O-S. An adjective for being low. And you see, Jesus calls himself low, Matthew 11:29. And God visits the low, Luke 1:52. Romans 12:16 tells the new creature to be lowly in mind. 2 Corinthians 10:1, the same thing. James 1:9. I take that again, Matthew 11:29, Luke 1:52, Romans 12:16. 2 Corinthians 10:1, you bring yourself down. So let me tell you what it means. And we're going to talk about the practical things and we'll close. Learning some? Okay. It means you act below what you have at all times. The older you get, ensure you keep a young heart and a young attitude. The more money you have, detach yourself from the money. The more influence you have, detach yourself from it. And you see, you got to do it yourself. Look at me, guys. Don't allow God to do it for you. Do it yourself. Did you hear what I just said? Don't allow God to do it for you. Let it be difficult for people to know you are the pastor. I'm not saying you shouldn't act like a pastor, but you're not, you know, flaunting, vaunting, and acting stupid. Sometimes you know who the preacher is. You know who the man of God is, because the way he sits in the congregation, he crosses his legs, he's not reading his Bible, he says, ah, come on, tell them. No. You didn't do that when you were a cell member. How come you've changed? And some guys have a sense of entitlement. Remember someone in church said, Pastor, I'm not saying I want this, but I don't know why my pastor has not asked me to do this. I said, I see trouble for you. I see trouble. You are going to get into trouble. The moment you think it has to be you, it will never be you. It will never be you. The moment you think, because the work of a ministry is not a reward for ambition. The moment you think it has to be you, it will never be you. Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14. We see two manifestations, the manifestations are two instances of manifestation of the enemy. And we saw it. Satan brought down. So, what's the cure? I said the cure is knowing who you really are. Who are you? Have you tried to answer that question? I am a servant. Let it dawn on you. I am a product of the grace of God. Let me tell you when you know pride has got into your heart. You ready? When people fail and you think you can't. When people fall and you mock them. When people get into error and you condescend towards them. Or you look at them in a condescending way. It means you think you're better. And that's pride. See, there are many things you have today that are circumstantial. I'm talking about in natural. You are not any better. Someone said this one time. He wrote on Facebook. He said, people are poor because they are ignorant. He said, they are poor because they don't have enough information. And I called him out. Said, I've not heard any more stupid statement than this. You grew up in Lagos, Jack. You have parents that sent you to school, paid your bills. You didn't have to struggle, sell water, or sell stuff to get to school. You have guys born in Boko Haram territories. So they are poor because they are ignorant. How stupid are you? And sometimes we see ourselves, you know yourself. You know yourself, that you are who you are by the grace of God. What's the boasting for? What are you boasting about? Salvation? The grace of God? The work of the ministry? What exactly are you boasting about? Are you boasting about what? If you're a beautiful person, did you create you? If you're handsome, you didn't create you. You didn't create you. What about wealth? Time and chance happened to you. Position. Why are you boastful? You are only plain stupid. So what's the cure? I said, always recognize who you are. Look into the mirror. Look into the mirror of God's word. Feed on the word so much that your identity is taken from the word alone. I'm going to repeat that. Feed on the word so much. They call you boss at work, right? Boss. Of course, if not for today's nomenclature, if you say pastor, it's not a position of prestige. There's honor in it, but it's not prestigious or it's no celebrity. It's just the way we use it today. Pastor means an headsman. Apostle's an errand boy. Prophet's a spokesperson. Evangelist is a town crier. A teacher is an instructor. That's what they are. There's no prestige attached to it or exclusive celebrity status. But somehow it's become like that. So if you look into the word, so every time Paul says, I, Paul, an apostle, he's saying, I, Paul, an errand boy. When you say that, it dawns on you who you really are. At work, they call you boss. Oh, they say, oh, chief, you know, stuff like that they call you. Oh, sir, ma, and it's nice. But it's good not to feed on what they call you. It's good to feed on what God calls you. The only way out of pride, and I'll close here, is to feed on the word and to consistently affirm who you are in Christ and what God has called you to do. Feed on the word. Pride is when you are feeding on the flesh. Now you have children, they call you mommy, they call you daddy. But don't forget, you're a member of the works department. You're an usher. You serve in the house of God. You are a servant of God. And that takes preeminence over what you have. Okay, now you're a senator. You are now, I was talking to one of my friends. He's a politician. He has kind of an office. And I said to him, I said, you know, I know what comes with this office. He said, I know, sir. I said, pride will come with it. He said, I know. And when pride comes in, sin will come. Sin will come. And sin will come in a lot of things. Reverie, immorality, it will come. Pride comes in a bonanza. It comes with a package. Pride. Pride. So when your pastor is speaking to you, or your husband, or your wife, or your friends are canceling you, don't talk to me like that. Who are you? Don't talk to me like that. Who are you? Someone told me one day, say, Pastor, when you say some of these words, I feel somehow. No, you are proud. You never felt somehow before. You are proud now. You think, Pastor, you know I'm now in my 30s, 40s, 50s. You should know now I'm a married man now. Got children. You should know now I'm well traveled. I'm a boss at work. I'm now the pastor of a church. I have people under me. But why should that change how pastor spoke to me? He speaks. Pride has come. Pride is when you lift yourself above a servant. Above a servant. And we have some thinking to do on this, to bring ourselves down. Stand to your feet. Raise your hands. Bring yourself down yourself. And do it every day. Did you hear me? Do it how often? Every day. Raise your hands and bring yourself down. Speak to yourself. Bring yourself down by the word. Raise your hands. Bring yourself down. Can't talk to me like that. Why should she speak to me like that? Can't address me that way. After all, I am this. Bring yourself down yourself. What has got into your heart? Your degree, PhD, your age, the car you drive, where you live. That's pride. You are now a pastor, so? Look at me. Yesterday, I told you, Pastor Tosh was asking me, he said, so what subject do you want me to preach? I'll say it in Yoruba, I say, Enu mi ugba. I said, how would I tell you what to preach? He said, no, stop it. I said, no. I was praying for you to attend Faith Family Fellowship in 1994. I fasted so that you can accept the invitation. Eventually came in 1995.
I said, what would now have changed? Like the songwriter said, I'm still that little boy. I honor you the way I did 28 years ago. Or 29 years ago. I honor you that way. Yes, now I'm television every day. Now people know me in more places than I've visited. But it doesn't change the fact I'm still that little boy that wants to read his Bible every day. That doesn't want to miss it. That wants to follow God. So nothing is ever going to change. I'm going to remain this little boy. I'm going to remain this way. I love the way I am. I don't want trouble. Don't push me into a mess. I don't want God to resist me. I don't want to stand without the work of the Spirit. I don't want to preach and nothing is happening. I don't want to do ministry and nothing is happening. I'm gone. I don't want to be resisted by God. I want to stay the way I am. So I bring myself down myself. Because if I want God to do it, then I'm in a mess. Nothing is ever going to change. Nothing. The same way I'll call people, end of the year, what do you perceive the next year is going to be? I'm a pastor now, I'm more experienced. I'm approaching 30 years in the mission. I mean 30 years, this is my 38th year in mission. But doesn't change anything. Wherever I see you, I greet you the same way. If I am in America, I'll greet you the way I'll greet you in Nigeria. And those of you watching me from United States, watching me from United Kingdom, nothing should change you. If you used to kneel down for your elder brother in Nigeria, you used to bow down for your senior cousin in Lagos, when you get to New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia, South Carolina, North Carolina, you get to United Kingdom, you do the same thing. Because it is who you are. No matter who you are now and what you have, those who you regarded, you still regard. Because you are not going to raise yourself high. Pray for yourself. These are solemn moments. They promoted you at work. Doesn't mean you should become proud to your former colleagues. No. You have the fruit of the Spirit. You used to drive your pastor. Now you have three churches under you, still drive your pastor. You see? Bring yourself down yourself. Do it. How did you used to worship before? You raise your hands. Tears will flow from your eyes. You will bow down. Do you still do that? Do you still go out for evangelism? Do you still do those things? Do you still run errands for your parents? Do you still run errands for your elder brother and elder sister? Do you still run errands for your pastor and your leaders? What has changed? Pride has come. Bring yourself down yourself. Church, don't have God do it for you. He will resist you. Look at me. And I'll close on this. I don't grade sin. Sin is sin. I will never grade sin. But if there's something that is heavy, it's pride. Pride will lead you into immorality and sin itself. And all sorts of sin. Pride. Pride is when you stop studying the word. You stop doing devotion, you don't care. Pride. Pride is when you no longer put caution to your life and habits and appetite. Pride. Pride is when you think you don't need prayer. You don't need to be led by the Spirit. You take decisions now. You're not led by the Spirit. Pride has entered. Pride. 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 You've raised yourself above. Romans 12:3. Don't exalt yourself. 1 Corinthians 4:6. Don't exalt yourself. Don't exalt yourself. Rather, bring yourself down. Do it yourself. Do it yourself. Do it yourself. Nothing should change. Nothing.
Still that little boy, hungry, hungry for the world. Still that little boy, hungry, hungry to do your will. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Sing it, come on.
I'm still